is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on our brand new free app. Get it at Google Play, get it at the App Store, or get it at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And a special interview we're going to do right now with a name you know, Art Bell, who had double-digit numbers doing late-night radio for years and years on a show that was once called Coast to Coast AM. I guess there is a show called that, but Art hasn't done it for a long time. And many of you have followed Art, and many of you have wondered where he's been, why he hasn't done a show. And one of the reasons Art is here is to let you know he's doing a show. He just started last week. And there are certain similarities between what Art is doing with the internet component of his show and what we do. And we're big supporters of that. We'd like to see as many people who have been dissed by the radio business come over to the dark side with us and be their own entrepreneurs, do it their own way. And that's our fascination with watching what Art Bell is doing today. Let me welcome to the program, coming to you. Where are you today, Art?
In my studio.
You sound like you're in your studio.
High desert, from the high desert, the great American Southwest. You know that one, right?
I do indeed. Let me tell you, the first time I heard you on the radio, Art, I had just come to work in Los Angeles at KFI Radio in 1988.
Oh, and
I was driving up the 15 freeway heading for Las Vegas and just to spend a weekend, that was all. And I turned on the radio, I hit the scan button, and you were on a station called KDON.
You've got it.
All right, AM 720.
I was there, Tom, just so you know, I was at this KDWN, a 50,000-watt big blowtorch, for 10 years.
Wow. When I tuned in, I heard you, and it was the first time I'd ever heard you. When I tuned in, you were talking with your listeners, you were setting up, if I recall correctly, you were offering to take a bunch of listeners by bus to Area 51. Have I got that right?
Yes, huh?
This would be 1988 or so.
Way back, yes.
Yeah. And I had heard you occasionally. KDON does come into L.A., but you only have a station at 710. That interferes. So, some nights if it's raining or something's happening on the skip, you could pick it up. Some nights, no.
We've been in radio a long time. How long for you, Tom? How long?
Well, since I was 14, and that would be 44, almost 45 years ago.
Yeah, I started at 13. I became a ham operator at 13, and I was doing rock and roll top 40 at, 13, actually.
Wow. And do I recall reading about you, Art, that you were not just a disc jockey, but you also were an engineer?
I began, as a lot of us did back in those days, Tom. You may recall, in the early days, if you wanted to work in radio, it really helped if you had an FCC first-class license. Because then you could be like an engineer, and then they'd put you on the air because they needed an engineer. Remember that?
Exactly right. By the way, I remember I had to go to the Lafayette Electronics Store. I lived on the East Coast. And I'd go to the Lafayette Electronics Store to get my books to bone up for the FCC exam.
There you go. Did the same
thing. Absolutely.
So we've got a lot of shared history. There's no question about it. And then from KDWN, I went on to be, as you well know, syndicated by Premier Radio Networks at that time, now iHeart Radio. or as I joke, I hate art radio.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
Now, now, you know, everyone's going to want to know about this, and I don't want you to tell anything you don't want to tell, but obviously, we saw you doing your show for Premier Radio Networks, then you went away, then you came back, then you went away again, and I was kind of losing track of why this was all happening. What was going on?
Well, gee, if you go back to Premier Radio, I actually did retire from there, and there were some bad things that happened, Tom. I don't really want to go into it, but large companies, oh, man, give me a break. Large companies, it just, it's inevitable. It's like a law of nature, Tom. The bigger they are, the more trouble they are. The bureaucracy was unbelievable, and I suppose it's become worse. Anyway, suffice to say, some bad things happened. Nevertheless, I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to retire. And I moved overseas for a while and even did some radio shows from there, but finally left Premier totally. Now, that is the leaving you were talking about. I then sort of stayed retired for a few years, but you know radio, Tom. Once it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And so I one day somebody found my Facebook account at SiriusXM and wrote me an email and said, hey, come to work for us. We have worldwide streaming and we'll get you on, you know, SiriusXM. I said, and I sat back and I thought about it. I wanted to get back into radio. I said, okay, let's do it. Let's try it. I was on SiriusXM, I think, for a total of about 6 weeks total. And during that time, they were having just incredible trouble with their streaming. And, of course, my audience had come to SiriusXM from mainly broadcast. I mean, that's where my folks were, broadcast. So they tended to not go out and buy a SiriusXM radio. They tended to subscribe to the streaming service. And what happened is it didn't work right. Streaming service kept giving people errors, cutting them off, doing all kinds of things, just mountains of complaints. And so, bottom line, I went to Sirius and I said, look, do me a favor. You know, you admit that you're having trouble with your streaming, so let us stream free until you can get it fixed, because it's not working this way.
Right.
And they thought about it and said, no. So I said, well, okay, bye.
Yeah.
They came out and got their equipment, and that was the end of that. I mean, it just, it floored me that they said no. It just absolutely floored me. We could have built, during that period of time when I wanted free streaming because theirs wasn't working, we could have built this enormous audience that then, in my opinion, would have transferred right back to their paywall setup or whatever. But again, Tom, big companies, you know, throw your hands up.
They don't want to give up a nickel of revenue, even though if you look at the history of everything from paywalls to radio itself, it all began with putting content out there for people to consume. And then later, let's talk about radio in the New York instance of a station called WEAF, AM 660. Here's a radio station that went on the air. Essentially, the purpose of it was to sell radios. It was RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, and they wanted to sell instruments. So they put programming on. Were there ad agencies involved? Were there people talking about monetizing? No. They put the content on. It became phenomenally popular. And with time, they made mountains of money. Not just selling radios, but also selling advertising. When you look at HBO, and it was called Home Box Office, when it started in the 70s, they would show you a movie free. And then they'd put their 800 number on the screen for the last half of the movie. And they would say, if you'd like to get movies like Serpico, call this number and we'll hook you up. And then pretty soon you were paying $12.99 a month for something that you thought television was free, and suddenly you realize it was something worth paying for. And right. I think in the case of Sirius, in your case, and I've been watching your case, okay, so they can't nickel and dime everybody to death while they're dealing with technical issues. Why not give it away, build up a following, make sure all the people who knew you were on the radio back when you were doing so well with Premier could find you. And then, you know, once the issues have been dealt with, tell people, okay, starting next month, you pay the regular price for Sirius streaming or for the Sirius satellite radio hookup or whatever, the free stream will go away at that time. I think it would be a lot more effective way of marketing your existence than what they did.
I completely agree. I guess I did present an ultimatum. I said, look, it's not working right. Everybody's getting cut off. Just cut it loose, let it be free until you get it working right, and then we'll switch it back. In the meantime, we'll build a big, big audience. And so, you know, it's like there was a period of silence, Tom, and then the next thing I knew, Coast to Coast AM showed up on the channel that I was had been on.
Oh my.
You can imagine there was some dealings, and there was some talking, and there was some whatever.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, Art, because we have this parallel history, and that brings us to today with you, because...
Yes, sir. That brings us to today, indeed.
Our man, Dino, has been contacting you and has been talking to you about what you're doing and what we're doing, and there's a lot of parallels here, and we kind of came to the same conclusion for the same reasons.
All right. I want to ask you the same questions. How did you get from there, meaning commercial radio... to where you and I are right now, and then we'll talk about where we are. How did you
do it? Well, in 2007, I signed a 5-year contract with CBS. CBS took me from Westwood One, and they offered me a very large contract, and it was a play-or-pay contract. And so the idea was going to be I was going to do the afternoon drive show on their station in L.A., syndicated to other stations who wanted to take it either live or delayed.
Sure.
And the compensation was great, and they were great to me, and I had no problem. And in 2008, the stock market fell off a cliff.
I remember.
And ad revenue began to slide. And rather than waiting it out, even though they were paying me the most money I ever made in my life, they decided to change the format of the radio station. And when they changed the format, they said, we'll pay you, we'll live up to the contract, but you can't work anywhere for 37 months that remain on the contract.
2 years for me, Tom.
Yeah.
From Sirius XM, 2 years.
So you know how that works. So here's what happened, Art. I could have just laid on the beach in the south of France or something. But instead, after spending a few months licking my wounds and feeling badly, I had a bright idea one day that maybe it was possible to do, as I put it at the time, a radio show without a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do a live show? Now, keep in mind, today we know you can, but we're talking about the year 2010. I still had a BlackBerry. And I was living in northern Santa Barbara County in a rural area.
Right.
And I was trying to listen to live streams through an app called Wonder Radio on my BlackBerry. And it was horrendous.
Uh-huh.
It was buffering and cutting out. And, you know, it didn't look good. So I decided to experiment. Since I could not do a show, my voice could not be heard, I decided to experiment with some music formats where my voice would not be heard. And the idea was to figure out the Rube Goldberg type setup you have to do to put a live streaming music format on the internet. And then to see how listenable it was, how reliable it was. Now, you come from an engineering background, so I know you have the same dedication to perfection in sound
I do. Yes.
And so here's the deal. We experimented, and with time, when 3G became 4G, when 4G became LTE, when different media players like TuneIn, which was once called Radio Time, had been created. Suddenly, I saw dramatic increases in the quality of these streams. And
there were technological advances going on at the same time.
IP codecs, AAC, a bunch of things were happening. And it was clear that what might not have been possible in 2009 or 2010 was becoming very possible as soon as 2011. And I had to stay off the air until April 2012. So in 2011, I had a number of meetings with radio stations who knew my contract was coming up and they wanted me to come back. And so here's the kind of meetings I took. And in fact, these are all people you probably know and have met as well. Here's what they were saying. Without naming them, here's what they say to me. They would say, "We love what you do and we want you to come back with us. Only problem is we're going to pay you 1/9 of what you were making before." Or 1/6 of what you were making before. 1/9 was the first offer. The new economy, yes. The problem is, of course, that, look, they still wanted me to come to the radio station, go to the sales meetings, do live commercials, have all the same responsibilities, and they wanted to pay me 1/9 of what I'd made before. And for me, if you're going to pay me 1/9 of what you paid me before, I'm going to work at my ranch. I'm not going to go to the sexual harassment seminar or the racial discrimination seminar at the radio station. I'm not meeting with ad agencies, media buyers, or advertisers. You will turn on the faucet, and my show will come pouring out at the other end. But that's all you're getting for 1/9 or 1/6 or 1/5 of what I made before.
Actually, that's a fairly generous offer. In other words, you do your show, but not all the other baloney.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, if you want that, you had to pay full price.
Take it they didn't go for it.
They didn't go for it, but the other thing was that they did inch up a little bit in compensation. The highest it got was 1/5 of what I once made.
Okay.
And still the expectation that I would come to work. One of the major companies that I had talked to actually has a dress code requirement. You literally have, you know.
How about a tie? Do you have to wear a tie?
No, but you had to wear like Dockers or khakis or something to work.
See.
And I'm sitting here in like cargo shorts and sneakers. And so I would have to dress to go to work every day, hit the dry cleaners once a week, and then have to go in and see all the very sad people you work with in radio now, all of whom are hiding under their desks, worried that they're about to be fired.
Dressed just like you.
Correct. And a miserable, poisonous, cancerous environment that I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to be there. By the way, you listen to today's talk radio, Art. Let's talk about this. The quality and the content of talk radio shows, the angry, nasty, Tea Party, cynical. I think it is reflective of the mood inside these businesses, inside these radio stations. Essentially, you're getting the corporate creed, much like Howard Beale in the movie Network.
Yes.
And the shows are reflective.
Tom, when I worked for KWN, they were arch conservatives. You don't hear of many mom-pop 50 KW stations. That was one of them, and they were arch conservatives. And I used to do the nighttime show, and I was a little conservative, and I'd have debates and have fun on the air. And then one night, I interviewed a guy named John Lear, Learjet fame. He talked about UFOs, and the rest is history. I had had enough of politics. I said, no more. And it became it wasn't even close, the most popular thing on that radio station. And that's how I morphed from... I got bored with politics, I've got to be honest with you. So I morphed into this other area of the paranormal, and they could not grasp it. But what they could grasp was that in survey after survey after survey, I came in number one, while everybody else was coming in number 10, number 12, number 14, bottom of the market. But me, number one. So that they got.
By the way, Art, you're being modest. You didn't just come in one. In some panel where I used to see the Arbitron numbers regularly, you were number one with double digits, 8 points ahead of the next station.
Mm.
Big.
It's true. I hope our connection is lasting here. We're having a little bit of a breakup on this end, but it's all right.
Yeah, you sound fine to me.
Okay, good. We were number one, not by a little, by a lot. So they sort of understood that, but still didn't like what I was doing. I nearly got fired. Actually, I did get fired twice. But then they immediately rehired me. So they were very, very conflicted. On the one hand, they wanted conservative talk radio on the air. On the other hand, I wasn't doing that. But gee whiz, I was number one. Oh, what to do?
Right? And clearly, in the end, if you clearly are a conservative, you probably like to have a good business and you like to make money. And why would you argue with something that's working? Why would you take that off? Makes no sense.
I'm really a libertarian. But, Tom, you said it. I mean, you work for somebody. You really have to sort of lean in the direction of the guy who signs a check.
Right. Right.
So, anyway, you know what I think is exciting, Tom, is what we're doing now. I mean, who, besides yourself and myself, there might be others, but not many, is doing a live free show on the Internet.
Well, the vast majority of people I know about, they record a podcast at their kitchen table at their convenience.
Right.
That might be five times a week or three times a week or once every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Not the kind of live.
In fact, the word podcast is ruined, Tom, because, I mean, we do have a podcast. You know, you can pay $5 and get shows as we do them. But the word podcast itself now seems to imply recorded show available for download. So when people call what I do a podcast, I object. It's live talk radio.
Right. And by the way, I feel the same way. We call this a live stream. We don't let people characterize us as a podcast. In fact, we refer to our library, which we also have subscribers for, we refer to it as an on-demand library. It's not a podcast.
Maybe I should change the name.
There you go. Because to me, a podcast is something you put in a can.
Yes.
It's not timely. It's not appointment listening.
It's not something you can call.
You can't call, and you don't know when the show was recorded.
There you go.
Right? We are doing this. You and I, we're doing this live right now, right. And people can and talk to us.
That's right. And Tom, this has got to be one of the most exciting times to be alive I can think of. All those people walking around with iPhones and Androids on their hip or in their pocketbook, I think of those, Tom, as little portable radios.
When's the last time people carried a transistor radio around with them? And now that's how they use their smartphone.
Yes, sir. So if you think of it that way, and there's hardly any other way to think of it, all these people are carrying around portable radios. They can listen at their convenience. They can listen live. They can listen later. It's a new age, and it's like we're on top of that wave, buddy, and we're cresting, and we're about to do some surfing.
And we own our own businesses, Art.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the best part. Every day when you walk in, this is yours. Now, I know when you worked for a big company, you got to work in your own space, but you still worked for somebody else. And
correct.
Now you walk in and you own this.
What a feeling.
Amazing, right?
What a feeling. Yes, of course it's amazing. And, you know, I ask myself, oh, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, maybe years ago the world wasn't ready for it. But it is now.
Well, by the way, Art, as I mentioned earlier, years and years ago, this was not technologically possible.
That's right.
And now it
is. That is correct. I'm technical, Tom, but I'm not that technical. I know what an MP3 is. And then one day somebody introduced me and said, you know what? There's this new thing called AAC. And so they showed me. They took a low bit rate file of music and played it in MP3 and then the equivalent bit rate in AAC. And I went, oh, my God. That sounds like 128 or better.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so, you know, kind of technical talk here. But in other words, the technical world has made it possible for us to do this.
That's right. That is right.
And remembering, Tom, where the content. Yeah. Doesn't matter where the content comes from or how it is transported. We're the content.
That's right. I've been saying for a long time that because we've loved radio, you and I and so many people have loved it, we have a very hard time divorcing the content from the appliance.
Right. And that is the right word for it, Tom, love. I it's in my blood. I can't, you know, there's nothing else I could do and be happy.
Right. And now you get to do it on your own terms, where you want, when you want. We do things like we come on with special streams at oddball times when we're inspired to do it because we have a 24/7 stream. We're not limited. We have appointment listening every day at 3 Pacific time. But I did a show recently at 1 a.m. until 2:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Really?
Yes.
What brought that on?
I was on vacation and I had this gadget from Comrex. The Access, which I'm sure you're aware of.
I am, yes.
But the amazing thing was, the audience knows this story, but maybe you haven't heard this. You can use these amazing AAC codecs to send a broadcast quality signal using broadband, Wi-Fi.
That's right. That's right.
A mobile hotspot. Broadcast quality, Art. So
you can be literally anywhere.
Right. And I was on vacation. I was not supposed to be doing any show. But when
I checked... You must have been either really jonesing for being on the radio or something big happened.
No. You know what I was jonesing for? To be able to prove that I could do my show anywhere, anytime.
All right, for you.
That's...
I did one from the base of the pyramids, Tom, with one of those old satellite phones once, and... Oh. My blood almost boiled out of me. I was so happy.
It's an amazing feeling to do that. In my case, Art, I had rented someone's apartment on Airbnb. And when I checked into the apartment, I immediately checked the Wi-Fi signal, and it was super strong. So I plugged in my gadget, stuck my antenna in the side, saw the signal I was getting. The bit rate was incredible. And it was an amazing experience because we had Mike Timpson, our engineer, was in the Burbank studio at 1 a.m. And I said, why don't we give this a shot?
I'm curious, if you did a show at that hour, I mean, people are not used to you at that hour.
No.
Did you attract listeners?
Two ways. One was we were on at a time that people in other countries... who normally hear us in the middle of the night, they were hearing us in morning drive or middays, number one. Number two, all you have to do is send out a tweet or put up a Facebook status update and tell everybody, we'll be live in 5 minutes. Here's the phone number.
Right, and suddenly all zillions of people know.
Right?
You're right. And I do that, and then I say I'm going to be on Periscope. And so I let them watch the back of my head in the studio, and, you know, it goes out to tens of thousands of people.
That's right. It's an amazing world. And so the result is, this is all, for me, it's still experimentation, and the audience likes the experimentation. So ultimately, you know, if ISIS comes marching down Hollywood Boulevard, I'll be able to sit on the terrace of my home in the Hollywood Hills and give the reports of the last moments, if that's what it takes.
For me, it's thinking of talking in a asteroid in last moments. But same idea.
Well, I, by the way, we've had some asteroids out there, and I was looking for you. You were not to be found.
You know what the scariest thing about asteroids is, Tom?
What's
not
that?
Not the ones that they see and determine will miss Earth. It's those newspaper stories you see that say something like this. They say, yesterday, Earth had a very close call. That was yesterday. They didn't see it coming. So a lot of them, they never know they're coming, Tom. And so it's 50-50. You know, we might see it, we might not. If it's coming out of the sun, goodbye.
Right. That could be your final broadcast.
It could be. And I would be honored to talk it in.
Nice. All right, we're going to take a break here, Art, if you don't mind. When we come back, I want to talk more about where you are now, what you're doing now. And
sure.
If you don't mind, take some phone calls because we've got a bunch of people who want to talk to you.
I'm up for it.
Great. All right. It's Art Bell. Art Bell, who couldn't even do an interview like this 2 weeks ago. He now has a new show called Midnight in the Desert. It's on about 20 radio stations. But just as importantly, it streams on the internet the way our show does. You can hear it on TuneIn. You can hear it at his website. You can listen for free. You can subscribe to his podcast, as people do with our on-demand library. And if you would like to talk to Art Bell, many of you may not have heard Art or talked to Art in years. Maybe you don't know he's back. Here's the phone number right now. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. We're here with Art Bell at a rare live interview with Art at 901-3000-866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You know I've been preaching for years about following your dreams and achieving success. The last thing you need is to get held back by a legal problem. Criminal, domestic violence, traffic violations, DUI, whatever. Don't use the public defender. Instead, call the law offices of Adam Sachs now for a free consultation at 800-340-7320. Stand up for yourself. Mount a real defense and get the charges dismissed, or at least reduced. Use an experienced criminal law attorney that you can trust, who has long supported our show. Adam has been in practice for 20 years. He never gives up, never runs from a fight. He knows the ins and outs of the courts, police procedures, and how to get things fixed. He'll even give you his cell phone number so he can always be reached. Already been convicted? Adam can have your record wiped clean, and you can start over with a fresh slate. Cases are done on a flat rate basis, not hourly. And he has affordable monthly payment plans. He even takes credit cards. Don't just plead guilty. Call this number, 800-340-7320. The law offices of Adam Sachs, 800-340-7320. It's time to man up.
The oldies gone wrong wing of new normal music is Great Big Radio. Great Big Radio plays all kinds of music from two generations of mindless entertainment, all designed to get you to say, oh my God, holy crap, and what the fuck? And now you can take it anywhere you would have taken a date with the new and free Great Big Radio app for iPhone and Android. Jam it in your pants. See and buy what we played. Use it to text us a request. Set it as an alarm clock. Annoy the piss out of other people on the bus. And best of all, listen to Great Big Radio with our technologically impossible high-def stream, which only uses one quarter of the data. We're not kidding. All this clatter and noise is going on 24/7 at greatbigradio.com. So remember, if you don't listen to Great Big Radio, we're going to tell everybody you listen anyway. You might as well.
Great Big Radio.
The hits and the songs that should have been.
Time to talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. COSTLO. You know, Jeremy Rubin and his family have owned and operated Coslo since 1965. That's 50 years. And they're all about getting you the right protection at the best price. And you know, I'm not just saying that. It's been my own personal experience. I've got three cars and a home insured with Coslo, and I couldn't be more thrilled. And let me tell you about their fantastic customer service. Like when that nut cut me off and ripped the bumper off my Tesla. Within minutes, I had Jeremy himself on the phone. He took care of everything, and he couldn't have made it easier. Now, you just don't get that kind of personal touch with some huge insurance company. And plenty of listeners have called to tell us how happy they are that they've made the switch, too. You know, there's a reason Costco's been in business for 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote at 818-707-7711 or visit CostloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711 or visit CostloInsurance.com today. Costlo, C-O-S-T-L-O. The Tom Likas Show. With our guest Art Bell, a rare live interview. We are thrilled to have Art with us. So many people tuning in to hear what Art is up to. And Art, let's talk about what you are doing now and how it's different from what you did before.
All right. You're right. I rarely, very rarely do interviews. So this is, you're right, rare. Let me tell you one thing. When we began what we're doing now, we said, look, enough is enough. You know, I'd come from the corporations and their non-compete periods and all the rest of it. I was done. So it was time to do it myself. And I said, okay, let's just go live on the internet. What the hell? Live. That's it. Let everybody have it. And that was the intent of the show. It was going to be internet only. And then once people found out we were coming back, we started getting calls from radio stations. And so I said, scratched my head. I said, well, I can't think of any reason to say no. You have to carry only the 6 minutes of commercials we're going to do an hour. A lot of them sort of blanched at that. But they went ahead and carried it anyway. So it's kind of interesting. If you think about it, Tom, it's all backwards. We're feeding radio stations from the internet. How weird is that?
Right. And if I recall reading, you are also not conforming to the formatting of having two newscasts an hour and all the happy horseshit that radio stations put in there.
You know what I did, Tom? I said, no national news at all. A, it's boring. B, I do a different kind of show. So C, let's have our own newscast. Get this. I connected with a guy who had been on Mutual News, really a good guy, all those years ago. And I said, do you think you could do a paranormal newscast for me? He said, well, sure. And that's what we're doing.
I love it.
And I put it at the bottom of the hour. You know, everybody else pretty much does it up top. I do it at the bottom.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I have been saying to people in the radio business who ask me for their opinion, for my opinion about their stations.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them, if you can pull it out of a smartphone, it doesn't belong on the air. Meaning, traffic on the fours.
Right.
Who listens to traffic reports anymore? If you are in traffic, you're using an app like Waze or Google Maps or something else. And traffic reports are useless. News, especially teases of news. The stupidest thing that radio stations do is to say, at the top of the hour, we're going to find out about the Iran deal with President Obama. Guess what? I pull out my smartphone. I get the answer now. I'm not waiting 20 minutes for the station to tell me something important. Weather. Weather is in my face. When I turn on my screen on my smartphone, I know the temperature. I can touch the screen and see a five-day forecast. Why would you put that on the radio if it's so easily gotten?
That's right.
And so it's my belief, if they're going to put on a show like yours, if they want to, they could say, go to our website for news, weather, and traffic. And then you do what you do, which is the proprietary content that you can't get on another radio station.
Exactly. By the way, going back to teases, Yahoo had one of the best a little while ago. They tease, of course, with headlines, and the headline was Comet Headed to Earth. The subheadline, Will It Hit Your Town? Will it
I would say
city?
I would say that's pretty urgent.
Click on that, right? You got to click on that, right?
Right.
Is it going to get me? And then when you read the story, it's not even going to hit Earth.
Right. It's what they call clickbait.
Clickbait, that's right.
That's what it is. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a new world. We are on top of this big wave I was talking about, and I kind of wonder, Tom, what these big corporations are going to do. I'm not going to name one because I don't need to. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. They marched across America, Tom, and they paid these incredibly inflated prices and bought everything they could lay their hands on, radio station-wise. And now they own all these hundreds or thousands of stations that are in the middle of being devalued. Devalued because AM radio is kind of going the way of, I don't know, something extinct. You know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Fewer and fewer people are listening to AM. So be thankful, Tom, that you and I provide content. Doesn't matter where we go, does it?
That's right. The content will follow us anywhere. I use, as my example, the Rolling Stones. The first time I heard the Rolling Stones was on a 45 RPM record using one of those little 45 adapters. And when the Rolling Stones finally made an LP, nobody said, well, my goodness, that's a 45 RPM band. That's never going to work on an LP. Later, when the record industry came up with the 8-track cartridge, nobody said, oh, Rolling Stones, that'll never work on 8-track. And then later on, when the cassette was invented, nobody ever said, Rolling Stones on cassette, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, when the CD was invented, of course, not only did the Rolling Stones go to CD, but people wanted to upgrade their collections to have an all-digital Rolling Stones collection, so they bought the same records again.
Again, correct, yes.
And then, of course, when you get to DATS, which had a limited lifespan, or you get to Napster, later iTunes, the Rolling Stones are still there. They have managed to survive every change of gadget that a music lover has lived through for over 50 years.
They'll be here after we're gone.
Of course they will. And whatever gadget has been devised. In our case, we have been playing on the same gadgets our entire career. We have never been available on an alternative gadget or device ever. And radio had a good 90-year run, I would say, with that technology. It's one of the longest-running technologies in the audio content business. But now that there are alternatives, much as I have antique radios in my office and as much as I love listening
too.
To the radio, right? You love it, right?
Oh, I've got radios everywhere. Of course, it's my love. I'm a ham operator. Yeah. I just plain love every aspect of radio, but Tom, I can read the writing on the wall. How many times do you walk down the street now and see a kid bebopping down the street with an AM radio right in his ear? Answer?
Mm-hmm. Never.
You don't see it
ever.
Right. So everything's changed. How long do you give AM as a viable delivery system?
I mean, it got revived
by people like you and I, talk radio for a while, for years, a decade maybe, but now it's all changing.
Well, now that people have been able to stream content and hear it without static, without fading, without skips, I can sit in Los Angeles and listen to WLS, something I couldn't do on the radio. Now that I've been spoiled by this, if I'm in my car and I happen to press the wrong button and AM radio pops on with all of its static, the radio stations have cut the budget for upkeep, maintenance of these audio chains. Many of the stations sound horrible. Many of the AM stations, the ground systems are corroded. Many of the signals are not what they once were. And just like me, you have been inside the belly of the beast. You know all the stuff I'm talking about.
I absolutely Yes.
The average listener doesn't know those specifics, but they know inherently it isn't as good as it used to be. Doesn't sound like it used to.
Well, they're right. I mean, if you look at the actual numbers, the percentage of listeners for AM radio hasn't just dropped. It has gone down like a lead balloon.
Right. Right. And when you add on to the methodology of measuring audiences, the personal people meter, they call it.
That's right.
Now some of this controversy about certain formats not scoring as high in PPM.
That's right.
Because they don't have continuous sound. So jazz stations, classical stations, smooth jazz stations, and talk have all suffered, apparently, because the encoding that's placed into these signals cannot be heard by the personal people meter, and therefore...
Boy, you are really up on technology, aren't you? You're right.
This is the business I've grown up in, Art, and this stuff all matters to me. I will tell you a little story, which even our audience doesn't know, and that is I had the number one show in men in Los Angeles in Afternoon Drive.
Oh, I remember that time.
Until the first month of the PPM, the personal people meter.
Mm-hmm.
Now you tell me if this sounds legitimate. In 1 month, we went from first place to 22nd place.
No, of course it isn't.
Of course it isn't. But of course, the companies start making decisions based on seeing numbers like that.
Right.
And we figured out a way to game the PPM.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to let you know
yes,
what it
by
is.
By all means.
Well,
sure.
Here, more frequent breaks. Shorter, more frequent breaks. It went against everything I wanted to believe and everything that I believed in terms of doing a show and letting people listen for long periods. I found when we broke more often, played less commercials in a break, people held on longer, the time spent listening went up. And in that methodology, we went back up from 22nd place back to the top three.
Wow, Tom. What is the technical reason behind that?
I do believe now, based on what we know about the personal people meter in radio,
right.
I believe that because you'll play commercials or bumper music or this all is noise. It's all sound.
It's
just the way music stations do so well in the personal people meter by having more of that traffic sound.
More sound.
Music.
More sound. Okay.
More continuous sound.
And so
because
in that way, it measures you, whereas before it just would have sort of said no.
Correct. But you notice we're having a conversation as if we're sitting in the same room. And
sure.
What normally happens in a conversation, when people are speaking normally, not like a puker disc jockey, but you're like just normal conversation. It has,
I was once there.
We were all there. And it has breaks. It has peaks and valleys. We pause.
Yes.
You know, you like me, you're a broadcaster, and you understand the value of a pause.
I understand the value of high ratings, you bet.
But the point is, a pause helps you.
A pause helps your numbers.
Right. Paul Harvey, Gene Shepard, I can name numerous radio people over time who did really well by engaging the audience, drawing them in. By not being a puker, by not talking a million miles a minute. Now, late at night, that's your specialty, speaking in a cadence and at a pace that fits the time of night your show is on. Perfect. But the people meter doesn't like that. And the result is that when you have long pauses or when you're pausing to think or you're pausing to consider the next thing you're going to say.
It doesn't read you. Yeah.
No?
I've got it. It doesn't read you. It doesn't know you're there.
Right.
So it doesn't record you. I get
Correct.
It.
Correct. That's right. And so what we did at KLSX when I worked for CBS, I got them to agree to redo the format clock, the format wheel. And we went from having 3 7-minute breaks an hour to 6 4-minute breaks an hour.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, it's too bad you had to do that in a way.
Of course.
Because, as you point out, it's sort of counterintuitive. The talk host or the person on the air wants fewer breaks, not more and more and more.
Right. And it's certainly not what I wanted. But what I wanted more was to remain employed.
Of course.
So you do what you have to do. And we got under the hood of that methodology. And I say that with quotes, air quotes. We got on the hood of that and figured out how to game it. That's what we did.
All right. Well, we certainly have gone down similar paths, my friend. We may do very different type shows, and we do. But the path has been very similar.
Absolutely. And not just the path, but the reasons for the path.
Yes. Yes. Well, there's nothing like sitting out a couple of years of a non-compete to teach you not to go down that path again.
Right. And you sound like me. When I was sitting out, I decided to get educated.
That is so hard. It is so hard to just sit.
But look at the benefit now that we're getting from that.
Yeah, I see stories. I see stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk to the audience about going on, and it's killing me.
Right. Right. I had to fill that in with my website and with Facebook and with Twitter. And, of course, it's not as good. It's not as much fun. It's not as fulfilling. It's not as immediate.
That's right.
You know, and we kept people engaged for 37 months. They had to wait for me for 37 months to come back. And we actually ran a countdown clock, Art, on our website.
We
counted down for 2 years to April 2nd, 2012, and we crashed every server we were on when we came back.
Uh-huh. You know what we are now, Tom? We're disruptors. That's what
right?
we are.
We're Uber. We're Tesla. We're Warby Parker. That's what we are. We are.
We're making a lot of people really unhappy. But, what they should think is this. If it's not Art and Tom, it's going to be Dick and Harry. In other words, this is happening, baby. And whether it's you or I at the moment, but if it's not, it'll be someone else.
Right.
It's unstoppable.
That's right. And they're flipping out. You know they're flipping out.
I know they are. I know they are, because I have things I could enumerate. I won't, but yes, they're flipping out. That's absolutely correct, and they should be flipping out, and they should be learning, but they're not, because they're big, heavy, weighted down bureaucracies of corporations that don't move quickly. That ship just can't turn quickly.
Well, and in addition. I'm not convinced these companies care about being, as we say in the business, operators. I think these are the corporate equivalent of house flippers. Buy up as much property as you can, put some lipstick on that pig, and try to sell it to somebody else for more than what you paid for it.
That's getting increasingly difficult.
Well, that's right, because that pig is looking more like a pig every day.
Right. They're going to come get us, Tom.
Tell me you don't love it, Art, when you see this stuff happening. Yesterday, I took time out to listen in on the conference call for the earnings announcement for one of the two major broadcasting companies, and heard them try to spin an 8% decrease in revenue into positive news. Yes.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
I'm not going to be able to stick around. If you do have any calls, you should hit me with them. I'm going to have to go at the top of the hour.
Understood. Let's grab some of these right now for Art Bell. Here is James in Chicago. I'm having so much fun talking to you, Art. I got to tell you, get distracted all day. James in Chicago, you're on with Art Bell.
Hello, Tom. Hello,
Hello,
Art.
James.
Yeah, I can hear you both clearly in Chicago. I mean, I actually kind of forgot that you both were not in the same room. It's coming through so clear. But I had a question. Art, since this type of internet show is new for you, and it's all new, Art Bell, you know, things that you haven't done before, are you still going to be handling everything yourself, like the bumper music, the phone calls, the guess, the engineering and everything else, or are you going to get up to a full staff like Tom? Because Tom's got a pretty good staff. I mean, I get questions from some people that listen to the show. They say, well, is it, you know, one caller per show? But I say, no, you know, because I listen to you every night. It's appointment radio. And I say, no, it's one call per caller per show. I said, I think, you know, Art is picking up that phone himself.
All right, so the did we lose Art?
Yeah, Art dropped. I'm calling him.
Okay, we lost Art.
Okay.
All right, we'll get Art back on the phone, and we will ask him your question. Amazing to have this time talking with Art Bell here. Okay, let's ask Art the question from James in Chicago. And our apologies to Art for the call dropping. But Art, here's the question that James was asking. He wanted to know, how much of your show are you doing on your own in terms of bumper music or screening phone calls? How much of a staff do you have?
Well, I don't screen calls. I have no staff at all. I do the show all by myself. I play my own bumper music. I play my own promos. I do everything from here.
That's incredible. So it's just you. It's a one-man operation.
It is. It's a one-man Amazing. Operation. I mean, it does go down to my webmaster, Keith Rowland, who then gets it on to where it needs to go to tune in. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, I do it all here.
Love it. James, thank you for that call. We're here with Art Bell. We're taking a few phone calls here at 901-3000-TOM. So many people want to call in and talk with Art. Let's see what we're going to do here. Let's go to, let me put Art on fader 2, and let's say hi here to Roman in Indio real quickly with Art Bell. Hello. Roman, are you there?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good
to hear both of you talking. I am sitting on my ranch across the street from where the Coachella takes place, listening to two of my favorite radio show personalities ever.
That's really fun.
It's Roman and Indio. Hey, I'd like to hear briefly, what was it that got you guys interested at a young age? You guys were probably like 15 or earlier.
Earlier.
Got you both interested in radio as a potential vocation or as a potential future for yourselves?
Okay. Let's take that on, Tom. I mean, for me, it was very, very early. I began taking my mom's equipment apart. I was listening to dots and dashes on the radio. I was talking to people around the world. And then I got to a radio station when I was about 13, and I wouldn't leave. You know, for me, I mean, that was the beginning of the end. I've been in radio ever since, and that was at 13, Tom.
Right. I was 14, and I had no intention of being in radio. I loved listening because I loved music. And a radio station on Long Island had a contest. If you were in junior high or high school, you could write to the station and ask why, you could answer the question, why would you want to be on the radio for an hour? And we'll give you an hour of time. And my reason was, I knew more, like every 14-year-old, I knew more about music than the program director, and I was going to go down to that station, and I was going to show them a thing or two about what music they ought to be playing down there. And to take that long story and make it very short, when I got to the station, I learned my first lesson in radio. At 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, I was met by the program director, and he had in one hand a stack of cards, and another hand he had a stack of index cards. And he said to me, "This is what you're going to play, and this is what you're going to say."
Okay, I've got one for that, Tom, since we're doing it. I went to work for a station in Franklin, New Jersey. It was a FM, a religious station. It was on top of a mountain, so a lot of days you had to traverse ice, and actually some days you didn't make it at all. But all I did then was to read the news, Tom, at the top of the hour. I would do a five-minute newscast. And I had this manager who didn't like guys who got too close to the mic. So I'd be in the middle of a five-minute newscast, And he would come in and yank the chair out from under me. And so you'd hear this boom, 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 boom as I fell on the floor. And let that be your lesson, son. No joke.
That is a great story. Art, do you mind if I grab one more and then I'll let you go?
No, go ahead, grab.
One more. Okay.
One more.
So many people want to talk to our guest, Art Bell. Unbelievable to have him with us. Danny in Donna, Texas. Say hello to Art Bell.
Wow, I finally made it on. As you know, on Coast to Coast, it's hard to get on. Both of you make the show. You make hours go by so quick that you forget, it's been hours.
Thank you.
Art, I was going to ask, do you remember a show, did you ever learn anything more about some guy that had called you that worked for Area 51? His call was dropped, and then afterwards, your show had cut out for a bit. Did you ever hear anything about?
Oh, no. This was indeed a caller who was trying to rat out some things going on at Area 51. And what I'm going to tell you is the truth. He was screaming. He was kind of crying, frankly. He was very upset. It was probably about midnight. And I had a faultless satellite dish that sent my signal, up to satellite and then back down and then to everybody. And it went off the air at exactly the moment this guy was crying and screaming and distraught, and it became a legend of a call. So what happened to him? Well, if he was really headed into Area 51, I can tell you there are signs that say you will forfeit your life if you go past this sign. That's all I know.
Wow. Danny, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Art, I know you've got to go, but I want to make sure you don't go until you tell everybody all the ways they can hear you and get in touch with you.
All the ways. My goodness. Any appliance, the appliance of your choice, from computers to phones to listen lines, artbell.com is my website. Yes, we do have a $5 membership. If you can't stay up that late, that allows you to download the programs, the still called podcast. We call them time travelers, Tom. $5, that's it, a month, and they can download any show. It's that simple, artbell.com.
Midnight in the desert, what time are you on?
9 to midnight, Pacific.
Fantastic. And you're on a bunch of radio stations as well.
We are. As I mentioned, I couldn't think of why I should say no, so we are. We'll see what happens.
This has been a pleasure. In every way, and
it really has.
I want you to know that we are your big fans. We are rooting for you to succeed, and anything we can do
for you,
anything we can do to help you, you know where we are. And it would be my pleasure to have you on anytime you have a little time for us, because the listeners loved hearing you.
Well, maybe I'll bring you up into the nighttime.
Would love it. Would love to do it.
All right, brother. You take care.
You too. Thank you so much, Art.
Take care, Tom and Dean. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Art Bell. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right. Sorry to all the people who held on for so long. We tried to get people in, but how often do you get an interview like that? Seriously. Very exciting. All right. WAP wide open phones here at 901-3000-TOM. We're going to pick up with WAP. We're going to pick up coming up with Mr. Checkpoint. We're going to, normally we have WAP all afternoon or all evening on Friday, but we had a chance to have Art Bell. And so, of course, we moved everything around for that. Amazing stuff. Dean, did that live up to your expectations?
Are you kidding me? I'm driving him crazy because I am running up and down the halls like a madman. I'm serious. This was my greatest moment in radio. There's like two titans coming together.
I've never seen anything like it. And Jesus Christ, it's fucking
Gary
weird.
Is very upset. I can't control myself because that's our friend, man. He's seriously, he's basically gone through the same path you have. And I was like, this is so great. And I couldn't contain myself. I was surprised to see number of calls for him too, like just fill it up. I was just in the process of breaking the news to people that weren't going to be able to get on to talk to him. But yeah, Tom, that was unbelievable.
Dino will talk to you about Area 51 off off the air.
And let that be your lesson, son.
And also, Gary worked at WSUS as well in Franklin.
Bill and I worked at the same radio station in New Jersey.
So I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. Yeah, Art Bell, man, that was crazy. I thank you 100,000 times.
Well, congratulations, Dino.
Miracle.
You got
it's
it together.
It's unstoppable.
He did thank me in the end, so I'm really happy about that.
Yes, yes, he did.
Good things, good things.
Amazing stuff.
It's great. That was awesome, Tom.
Now, what will you do if he has me on his show?
Oh, I would jump out the window. That'll just do it. You know what's so funny is I can't feel them anyway. It was brought up in that they are two very distinctly different shows. There's no question about it. He still obviously has a terrestrial component to his show, but there's no foul language. But he really sees the future just like you. You're the pioneer, and he sees it in the same way. And for him to bring you on would be awesome. I mean, just awesome.
How weird is that?
You're a 30 year veteran. You know what the fuck you're doing. You've been doing it a long time. So it would be great. The crossover is great. And new callers, people that there were three people that I knew never listened to this show.
I was very interested in that asteroid thing, and now I'm nervous going into the weekend. Is there a close call coming?
If you keep this up, the asteroid's going to hit you right in the head. That's what's
kind of... Is this like that that earthquake prediction kind of thing where,
No.
That's never going to happen either?
He already put you at ease, and it's a solar flare that's going to take us out. Anybody that has any knowledge realizes the solar flare will take out the grid, and we're done.
Dino will be the last guy hanging on to his smartphone as as we go down, listening to Art Bell. Call it as it happens.
What a feeling.
It's getting closer, folks.
Goodbye.
Awesome. And you know what's great? Art Bell said he would do the show, and he did the show. Unlike some other people, he opted to come on this program.
Well, you make a good point there.
And you got to give it to him, and he does what he says he's going to do. So believe me, when it was 4:01, I started to sweat because the last thing I wanted is to hear this from Gary for the rest of my life if it didn't happen. Right. Yep. I was just not going to have that.
Oh, believe me, I was pointing it out in the control room. Oh, we still have no Art Bell. Uh-huh. There's 1 minute away. 1 minute away.
Gary was
standby.
So praying.
Where's your boy Art Bell?
Ready to fill.
Yep.
They're flipping out. That's absolutely correct.
But I want to point out that the pioneer of Coast to Coast, the guy who brought it to life, said he would come on, and he did come
out
on.
Out there in the desert by himself in like a trailer. Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. He's cashing those checks out there in the middle of the desert. Smart man.
Pretty amazing.
I wonder if he'd be uncomfortable if I bought the lot next to him, though. I don't know.
Not at all.
Art, you have any Grey Poupon, buddy?
Right. You got it.
Yes, thanks, buddy.
Praying for asteroids to hit right next door.
We would do some UFO spotting, me and Art. Done. Done. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Honestly, thank you.
Of course.
Woo!
Well, thank you for bringing him to us.
Shut up, Gary. You're not going to wreck this moment.
You have no idea how long Dino has been working on this.
Oh, my God. Yep.
When did you first reach Art on the phone?
I would say when he first called me was maybe about 3 months ago, and that was or 2 months ago, and that was quite the shock. But I had sent an email out to him last year and reached out to him when he was going through, or maybe even longer, 2 years ago. And now thinking about it, right when he ran into trouble with Sirius, I didn't realize the non-compete. I thought how perfect if it wasn't in his contract, if he could do a digital version of it, I thought the new normal would be a perfect home for him. And I reached out to him right away, and took him a couple years, and then he called me.
Just a couple years, that's all, yeah.
Yep.
What a feeling.
But to have Tom Ligas and Art Bell talking together, I didn't know what to do with my. I had to run around. I was literally running up and down the hall.
Yeah, at one point I saw you spinning around in your chair like,
yeah,
like a top.
Yep, like yeah, a tar, yeah, top,
like
I mean.
A,
yeah.
Like a wop top.
Wop top. Top wop.
Oh, man. Give me a break.
Tom is the dream maker, dude. He did it, man. That was
Don't
crazy.
You get the vibe that Art's just like always just on the edge of being annoyed with you, Dino? Don't you?
No, I have. Bit? I have. It's not like I drive Tom crazy with my radio questions. And then, like, just the other day, for example, yesterday, Tom was trying to explain how the profit and loss statement and, like, debt service of a major radio company. And Tom just says it, and really it's concise, and it takes about maybe 40 seconds. And then I stopped him. I'm like, Tom, you're talking to me and Timson here about this, and you have got to break it down into a very digestible way that even idiots can understand. And then he did. So Tom
idiot,
takes a little longer.
Idiot and a brilliant guy.
And the brilliant.
Turtle owner.
But I asked him to take it back.
The bigger they are, the more trouble they are.
But I don't think I don't stay on the phone with him all that long, but it is fun to talk to him. It's crazy.
What do you guys talk about when you're just chit-chatting?
Radio. Like Tom.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm. See? Yes, sir, Art. But nice. It's great. He knows the same, you know, same path that Tom's already blazed through, and they both have shared experiences, as you heard, for the last hour and 12 minutes. I mean, that's something else. Mm. So
it is. The whole thing's wappalicious.
It is.
On top of that wave, buddy.
Thank you again for the millionth time, Tom. I can't believe you. I would be surprised if you couldn't hear me yelling because I was darting around like a nut.
Got a little weird there for a while.
Yes.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Thank you. Done.
Amazing.
Done.
What a feeling.
Yes, it is, Art. Thank you.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. we still have some more WAP coming up here. And that means me and you. And the number here, if you want to be part of Wide Open Phones, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-866.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You know, every year, countless people are involved in all types of accidents that leave them badly injured and disrupt their lives. Now, if that's you, it's vital that you get prompt legal advice and representation from an experienced personal injury attorney who will protect your legal rights and get you what you deserve. Call the law office of Mark Blumenfeld and be assured that you'll get the maximum settlement. You know, for over 30 years, the law office of Mark Blumenfeld has been providing legal representation to clients in personal injury cases. Mark's professional and experienced bilingual staff will work hard to get you the medical care you need, your medical bills paid, your vehicle repaired, and assist with a rental car, and get you reimbursed for any other out-of-pocket expenses you incur. The law office of Mark Blumenfeld is available 24/7. Get a free consultation and evaluation by calling this number, 800-LAW-2360. That's 800-529-2360. There are no legal fees unless they obtain a settlement for you. Take the inconvenience and anxiety out of the equation and call the law office of Mark Blumenfeld now, 800-LAW-2360. 2360. That's 800-529-2360. The law office of Mark Blumenfeld. Get what you deserve.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny, terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer and faster, harder.
Support the Tom Likas Show by using our Amazon.com links to do your everyday shopping. You know you'll be shopping at Amazon anyway for their low prices, whether you're at home or at work. Why not pay the same low Amazon prices and support your favorite show at the same time? You know, Amazon offers super low prices on books, clothing, appliances, music, just about anything you can imagine. And we get credit every time you click on our Amazon links. You know, Amazon revenue makes it possible for us to continue long into the future. Look for the Amazon banner at our website, blowmeuptom.com, or click on the shopping cart icon to shop Amazon on our brand new Tom Likas Show app. Time now to take a look at all the drunk driving checkpoints here, there, and everywhere. And here to do that is Mr. Checkpoint himself. Take it away, Senator.
Thank you, Tom. Tonight, there's lots of DUI checkpoints around California. If you hear or see a DUI checkpoint, make sure to let me know on Twitter or Facebook. Tonight in Los Angeles, DUI checkpoint in Redondo Beach. This will be at the intersection of Artesia Boulevard and Ford Avenue. From 6 p.m. till 2 a.m., DUI checkpoint in Palmdale. This will be at undisclosed location. In the Inland Empire, I have two DUI checkpoints, both at undisclosed locations, starting at 6 p.m. till 2 a.m. This is in the cities of Lake Elsinore and Temecula. Orange County has two DUI checkpoints at undisclosed locations, starting at 8 p.m. going till 3 a.m. This will be in Placentia and La Habra. And lastly, Saturday night, DUI checkpoint in Los Angeles in North Hills. This will be from 8 p.m. till 1 a.m. at the intersection of Sepulveda Boulevard and Parthenia Street. For exact locations of more undisclosed DUI checkpoints, make sure to download the Mr. Checkpoint app, downloaded by over 300,000 people, including our professor. I want to remind everyone to be responsible, don't drink and drive, and download the free Mr. Checkpoint app for your iPhone or Android.
And you can find Mr. Checkpoint at his website, MrCheckpoint.com.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Do you think you could do a paranormal newscast for me?
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
best day of my life.
Beer Magazine, new study shows men see powerful women as threats to their masculinity.
Yeah, well, that's no great surprise. It's just now a study backs it.
What is a...
A power chick.
A powerful woman.
Yeah. Just one that's always like, you know, one that makes a lot of dough, is accustomed to bossing dudes around all the time.
This is the kind of chick you're looking for, so you can have her bring home the bacon.
Yeah, and
you can
I have no problem with it. In fact, I encourage
work on feeling your feet at some point.
It's all the less I got to do. I could care less. Have at it, hoss. Seriously.
Don't you get the idea if you were like a stay-at-home husband or father that you'd actually get more physical? Yeah. Experience in your day than you do right now, because you sit with your feet up.
I do, because it's more comfortable, because I have to sit in one position all day, so I move it around, put my feet up, and that's a different position. These are important things,
right? So you have two positions: sitting in a chair, feet down,
and then sitting in a chair, feet up. I'm in the feet down now, but I can go to feet up as I just did.
New Jersey court has ruled it's illegal for teachers to have sex with adult high school students. This has always been sort of a gray area.
Yeah, we covered this because
when you get the tards that don't get out of high school before becoming legal.
All right. But what happens is, and we covered this, a court decision in 2014 in New Jersey stated that it was okay for the teacher to have had relations with the student because the student had been 18. That has now been changed, in that that cannot be used ever again. If they have that type of relationship, meaning teacher to student, it is no longer legal, even though they are of age. And that's what a New Jersey Supreme Court has ruled.
Adrian McConney, then a 36-year-old girls' soccer coach, was arrested in April of 2013 after police determined he had sex with the student 2 months earlier than that.
Our friend was having a great time, except for one thing. It was a teacher-student relationship.
Hate to see that.
Well, you can imagine, the guy already
she was all grown up.
He likes young girls. obviously, because that's what it happened. And there he was surrounded by a girl soccer coach. Come on.
Yeah.
His head must have exploded like mine did a little while ago.
Speaking of heads exploding, a Vancouver, Washington high school teacher, drama teacher, pleaded guilty to charges that she had sex with a 15-year-old student.
Yeah.
15.
And you notice, like, this had to be, part of a plea deal. Mm. But she's not so bad for a redhead, so.
She pleaded guilty yesterday to 4 counts of third-degree rape of a child and a count of tampering with a witness.
Right. She must have told the kid what to say.
What are we doing?
The witness tampering charge is a result of communication she had with the victim through a fake Facebook page. Prosecutors say she asked the boy to keep their relationship quiet and practice what to say if he spoke to law enforcement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, she's scheduled to be sentenced coming up in September.
Investigators apparently arresting a 37-year-old Oklahoma City man Thursday after he arranged meeting apparently what he thought was a 14-year-old girl for sex.
Right. But guess what it was? It was the po-po.
Happens every time. Well, we think it happens every time. It happens the times we hear about it.
Right. That's true. But our friends in Oklahoma had this whole thing set up, and that's when they caught our friend in the net when he initiated contact online with an undercover deputy posing as a 14-year-old girl. The conversation quickly became sexual. He made multiple comments about stating that he knew he could be arrested for engaging in a sexual relationship with a young girl. Yeah. That's according to the news release. So here he is admitting, hey, what I'm doing is bad. That's really bad. Before it even happens, he said, yeah, I know I can get in a lot of trouble for this. You're automatically admitting to guilt. And unfortunately, he was telling it to what appears to be an undercover agent.
Yeah. Here's one from the wild card line, a Long Island man.
You motherfucker.
Parking his plane in his driveway. Apparently pissing his neighbors off. He's going through a divorce. He says he can't afford to plane at the airport, so he's got to park it on his driveway.
And
you got it.
And the neighbors are not happy about it. So
you got it.
He can't afford the $150 a month it costs to park it at the Republic Airport in New York.
$150? That's all it costs?
Yeah.
$150?
Which is cheap, but here's what's going to happen. He might as well kiss. If you can't even afford to park the plane, how are you going to afford to put gas in it and fly this thing?
He's going through a divorce. That's what happens. You get raped.
He might as well guess what? Yeah. He's going to have to sell the plane. No.
He wants his children to experience the plane, so he's going to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Why deprive them?
Well, he says his neighbors are crucifying him.
Yes.
And he's like, listen, people have their boats in their driveway. Why can't I have the plane? He does have a point.
Well, okay.
Finally, a pick alert for you. It's a young lady named Kendall Schooner. Who's Jody Pachnik?
The photographer. I had to go through that too because I thought, is there another chick involved here? And then
I'm looking at it. I see one chick and two coconuts.
Yeah, I do too. Pineapples.
So, I'm sorry, those are pineapples, aren't they?
I know why you didn't even know what it was. There's a picture of
I'm
a
not
hat,
looking at the fruit.
The hat and everything.
Yeah. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Go home and get your shine box.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. New one up there today. Dino does a hot sauce challenge. And Frankie McDonald does a dramatic reading
of Goodfellas.
Might be the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
GaryandDino.com is where you find it. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Beyond your professor, is there anyone out there trying to help you with your finances? Or does it seem like everybody is out to screw you over? Bankers stabbing you for fees, colleges hammering you with tuition, government taxing the hell out of you. Worst of all, have you lost half your assets in a divorce? The world is full of financial parasites. The only problem is nobody teaches young men how to avoid them, let alone the basics of financial management and planning. Now comes Aaron Clary's new book, Bachelor Pad Economics. Aaron calls Bachelor Pad Economics the financial advice Bible for men. A roadmap that guides you in all the major financial decisions you'll make in your life, starting at the age of 14 all the way to death. Aaron insists it's an absolute must for every man of every age and can be the difference between being the impoverished sucker paying alimony or the millionaire playboy with a full bullpen. It's available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Bachelor Pad Economics. Be smart. Buy it today.
This is the new normal.